Professor Tilman Kruger is a psychiatric consultant and principal investigator for the NEMA project.
In contrast to maybe some assumptions, we did not find any alterations of empathy. So we don't have a higher rate of antisocial personality. And at least regarding this questionnaire, empathy is pretty normal in these people. The most prominent results are connected with offense status. We could even show that there, on the structural level, there are no differences between the pedophiles and the controls, but there are differences between the ones that had an offense already and that had no offense.
So that could ultimately be used as a predictive tool if you were assessing someone about their safety in society.
That's true, because we are very much interested in finding out new informations, helping us in our treatment also, and detecting people that have a high risk for offenses.
There is a special pattern of balls presented on the upper screen, which the subject has to copy on the screen below. And for this, it's necessary.
Though it's very early days, the evidence seems to point towards a biological basis for paedophilia. And what the German and Canadian scientists are now sure of is that paedophilia is a sexual orientation, a permanent attraction that develops before birth.
Schon früh habe ich gemerkt, dass ich anders ticke. War schon klar, wie man über solche wie mich denkt. Krank,
pervers. A TV advert for the German initiative called Prevention Project Dunkelfeld, Dunkelfeld meaning dark field, and referring to paedophiles that aren't known about. The idea is to reach them before they offend. Klaus Beyer is professor of sexology and head of Charité, the Berlin Institute which started the project.
The key message was that we will not condemn a person because of his sexual preference. And it would not be right to do this because nobody chooses their preference. And the other message was, we can help you to control your behavior. And then you will not offend against children, and then you can be a part of the community, and this will help everybody.
Referred to as Don't Offend, the project is free and confidential.
What we have to do is to go to the community and to explain that social stigmatization of this group will not help, because then you force the isolation for them. And isolation will lead to a higher risk of offending.
Participants learn to cope and control their impulses using talking therapies, and medication can be used to lower their sex drive. Over 5,000 paedophiles have applied so far. The success of the program has recently been evaluated.
The first thing is that we can influence risk factors. That's significant. And that the number of relapses are lower. This is what we could show significantly from our data.
But how much lower?
I would say a range between 5 to 20 cases lower.
Than the control group, you mean?
Yeah, right.
Right, so that's varying percentages there.
And but let me say one thing.
Yep.
So the problem is that it's very difficult to argue, because if you have a potential offender and he's coming to you and he would say to me, please help me, I don't want to offend, and I help him and he will not offend, because we have a large group of potential offenders who didn't offend eventually. But how to prove this?
Well, you are just relying upon their word for it, after all.
Yes, that's right.
Unlike in the UK, in Germany, therapists are prohibited by law from reporting offences that are disclosed to them.
We need to accept the huge amount of pedophilically inclined men, and this is not only a German problem.
But surely the safeguarding of children has to be paramount if you're talking to a paedophile who says that they are inclined and about to commit an offence, then you have to report that.
No, in Germany we haven't. But the idea is, if a person like this comes to us, then we have the chance to help the people not to offend.
But what if you can't do that? I mean, surely you have to then get the state to intervene.
Yes, but the idea is, and it works, that only persons will come to us who would like not to offend. And this is the reason why they come. Of course, there are pedophilically inclined men who will not come, who will never come. And for them, there is only one solution. We have to find them and to capture them and to put them in prison.
Hello, Stop It Now helpline. Can I help you? Right, so you're having thoughts. Yes, 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 of course. And we will be making sure that you understand our confidentiality policy.
This is a typical response to the type of call that a free helpline in the UK called Stop It Now frequently receives. It started in 2002 and is run by the Lucy Faithful Foundation, a charity dedicated to protecting children from sexual abuse. It's the only service of its kind in the UK, and there's currently no NHS treatment for non-offending paedophiles. Donald Findlater is its director.
The people that are likely to call us are those that may have offended and are troubled by their thoughts or behaviour towards children, or are men who are simply troubled by their thoughts, who haven't harmed a child yet, but are worried that they have the potential to. So they're struggling with their sexual interest and they're trying not to act on it. So the helpline is there to accompany people, reassure them that we're there to support and listen, help them to manage their behaviour, give them encouragement that if they have been managing their behaviour towards children for a number or many years, that that is something that they continue to do so that they don't represent an immediate risk, but also to offer them some hope about how life could be going forward.
There's been a massive increase in calls since it started, and demand is now so great, they say around 2,500 calls are missed each month. Because Stop It Now has a duty to report any offences disclosed to them, people generally stay anonymous, so most work is done over the phone, something Donald Findlater wants to change.
I think it's high time we had a debate, both a public debate, a political debate, but also a professional debate about how we can provide a confidential service, face-to-face service for men troubled by their sexual thoughts so that they can access good quality, effective treatment without being reported.
And what are the consequences for children from having your hands tied in this way?
Well, ultimately, one has to accept that if an individual is not assisted in a way that they need at the stage that they're troubled by their sexual thoughts, then some of those individuals may go on to do harm to children.
I did make the mistake of accessing images, level one images.
What's level one?
Nude or clothed modelling shots, that sort of thing. But that's the only line that I've crossed, and I wouldn't cross it any further than that.
James lost his job and was named and shamed in his local papers. He received a suspended sentence, was put on the sex offenders register, and had to go on a rehabilitation course.
You have to acknowledge that what you did wasn't just illegal, but morally wrong, unacceptable within society, and that you are looking to change it. It's the last part that I think they completely screw up, because I don't think anybody can look to change it. You can't ask me to change it more than you can ask a homosexual man.
In terms of the support networks in this country, what do you think of them?
I think they're fairly well-intentioned but useless. I end up ringing the Samaritans, who I felt so sorry for, because they're always fantastic, but that isn't their purview.
Were they able to help?
No, but at least they listened.
James says he's recently found support from other paedophiles online, but still feels in need of professional help. Mark has also found help online and is providing support to other young paedophiles.
You have these young people coming on talking about their thoughts and that they must be a bad person and they don't know what to do and they don't think they will tell anyone. A couple of them have tried suicide. I'm in contact with one or two, which thankfully failed, but attempted suicide.
Did you?
I did not attempt suicide. I thought about suicide. I didn't ever get to the level where I was planning it, but I would entertain the idea almost daily at a certain time.
But as well as providing support, the internet is also a very sinister presence. It's a huge problem. The police estimate 50,000 people in the UK regularly view indecent images of children. Although a strong indicator for paedophilia, less than half of online offenders will go on to abuse children. But given the numbers, how can the police cope? Simon Bailey, Chief Constable of Norfolk and National Policing Lead for Child Protection, says there will have to be an alternative strategy for lower-risk offenders.
When you are dealing with an offender who is absolutely at the low end of the scale, who is highly unlikely to then contact abuse, the capacity for the police service, when you look at all the challenges that we face, I believe there can be some form of other finding, be it within the criminal justice system, so there's a formal finding, so they become a registered sex offender. But then we ought to work with them to try and ensure that when they have those feelings, that they are then managed, that they don't then carry those feelings through into any other form of activity.
Some people would say the mere fact that they've been viewing this material in itself creates a demand. They therefore need to be punished.
And I understand that perspective, but if they are unlikely to contact abuse, and this is after a thorough assessment, and they don't pose the type of threat that a high-risk offender is going to present, then I think that we then have to look at options.
But, I mean, if you are talking about some sort of counselling service for this category of people, are we talking about this being provided by the NHS?
I think there is absolutely a role for public health to tackle this, because it's just the scale of it. We are potentially talking about tens of thousands of people.
All agencies involved with the problem believe we need more research into paedophilia. Dr. David Ho, consultant forensic psychiatrist and clinical research lead for the South Essex Partnership Trust, explains why he thinks there's been a lack of research in this area.
I think traditionally there hasn't been the appetite. It hasn't really been recognised as something which needs head-on tackling.
Is it because it's distasteful?
Well, possibly, but I would like to think that those in the medical profession deal with distasteful things on a daily basis. There might be an issue with funding in terms of research, national grants, private grants, and perhaps the funders find it distasteful as well.
Experts like Sarah Good and James Cantor say it's virtually impossible to get funding. So given that, Sarah Good thinks we need to look to ourselves to protect children.
I think that we have spent a long time misunderstanding what the problem is. And we have been, if you like, looking for those monsters over there in the corner. If we can identify them, then we can put them in prison or sterilise them or castrate them or whatever bad thing we think will prevent them from harming our children. All of that's completely wrong and a total waste of time. If we want to keep our children safe, we have to realise that all of us in society have to take responsibility, and every single one of us is going to know at least one man in our social network who is sexually attracted to children at some level. And when we understand that it's not them, it's us, when we really get that, then we can start to change our cultural view about keeping children safe so that we are talking to men with a sexual attraction to children before they have acted and harmed children.
This whole approach to preventing paedophiles from abusing may well involve not being afraid to ask some difficult questions, ones that may sit uneasily with the public. For many people who've been affected by the existence of paedophiles in society, the very nature of this research is uncomfortable, and its findings even more so. As a father of three, I found it difficult at times. But if even the parents of April Jones are calling for a more proactive approach, then maybe the way we deal with men who are attracted to children will start to change, so we can help prevent this sort of situation.
Once I got told her bike was there, I knew something was seriously wrong. And then my mind just went overdrive, contact the police, shouting at people, asking for help. And if I could have done anything that night to save her, I would have.